Hello, everyone. Welcome to This Must Be the Place, the Building Science Podcast. I'm your host, Shauna Henderson. Each episode is a deep conversation with a carefully chosen peer about not just houses, but place. Yeah, of course we talk about houses and retrofits, but we also want to change the industry for the better, forever. Energy poverty, community engagement, industry disruption, societal responsibility, and climate change. It's all here and so much more. Welcome back to This Must Be the Place, your building science podcast. I'm your host, Shauna Henderson. I'm so excited to have Yasmin Abraham on the show today. She's a fellow educator, and the work she does is transformative. She's a multi-award winner and recognized nationally and internationally for her work. Yasmin is the vision behind Empower Me, Canada's only energy efficiency, education, and behavior change program designed specifically for underrepresented communities. Welcome to the podcast, Yasmin. So I'm happy to have you here.
Hi, Sean. I'm so good to be here. What a treat.
Yeah. But I saw you on, you were on some panel today for women in, I can't remember the whole thing. It just flew by my feet as I was coming out to my car office today. Panel three, what was that for?
Yeah, that was a Wiser symposium, which I hope I don't mess up the acronym, Women in Sustainability, Renewable
and
Energy.
Renewable energy, right. Okay.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yes, and a symposium on energy poverty. And I was on a panel along with four researchers, academic, which is such a treat. Our organization is our program implementers and designers. And so we're on the ground, we're doing the work, we're in people's houses, designing those programs. And these amazing folks are researching about all the work that, you know, why we do what we do and the impacts of the work we do. And so it's always such a treat to chat with them. Yeah.
Right on. So we'll make sure we put a link to anything that comes out of that symposium on the show notes so people can read what's going on or if they've got any kind of recordings that they're going to release.
Wonderful.
That up. So you started in this sector in 2010.
Is that right? A long time ago. Yeah.
I know, I feel ancient. Because like, wasn't that like 2 years ago?
Yeah.
So how did you get in?
What's the journey? My journey was not straightforward and it never was going to be. And I wasn't one of those people who knew exactly what I was going to do and how I was going to get there. A long time ago, I did an undergrad in molecular biology and biochemistry, which is not super useful. But I had dreams of going to med school and sort of realized during that time that med school wasn't for me. I didn't want to be a researcher. And started looking elsewhere. And I ended up working in the technology and software space in business development and sales. And then in 2009, I decided I wanted to go do my MBA. And my father, Arif Abraham, was running a consulting business and said, you know, why don't you come join me and help me run the business while you're doing your MBA? And I thought, well, that's a great idea. I'll do it for a year or two and see what he does. I had no idea. And here we are 12 years later. And myself and my brother run Cambo Energy Group. So we are a family business, social enterprise. But certainly I do not have a background in energy or energy efficiency formally, but I grew up in the
around
industry.
It.
Yeah. My dad, has been in the industry for 40 years across the UK and then across Canada. So I got my education right at the dinner table. And so here we are.
That's cool. I know that we had my past business partner and I met with your dad even before we had Blue House Energy going. We're talking about what was going on in Vancouver and how we could collaborate or do anything. So yeah, so we were in touch with your dad many years ago.
Actually, that's how you and I met. I was
talking
before this podcast. Because when we first launched Empower Me in Surrey, BC in 2012, one of the things, for the listeners who don't know, Empower Me is a program that really helps fill the gap to make sure that immigrants and newcomers across Canada can access all of the important utility and government climate and energy efficiency and DSM programs that are out there. We hire people from the community. They know the community. They speak the language. They're well-trusted. They can give holistic information. Always have a lot of success of that over the years. Mm-hmm. But when we
talk a lot about empowering as we go through.
Good. Yeah. So when we started, though, one of the ways we trained our mentors that we hired was with the Blue House system. And I remember going through it and training our mentors with it. So that's a nice, a nice story, a nice nugget of our relationship.
Yeah. And I know that, so there's Cambo Energy Group, and Empower Me is a part of that sort of sideline.
Yeah. Okay. We have a number of names, and it is confusing. But so Cambo Energy Group is the parent company. That's our corporation name. Underneath Cambo Energy Group, we have two divisions. Empower Me, that focuses on immigrants and newcomers and households in energy poverty. And then we have Community Power, and Community Power is specifically focused on working together with Indigenous nations and their housing and climate needs. So similar work across both. We have two divisions just to separate the audience, really.
Right. Because they're significantly different in how you would, who's going to do that work, who's going to be in those communities, and how you approach them, I would imagine.
That's right.
Yeah. So rock on. Let's talk about Empower Me, because we've had a few conversations about Empower Me, and I think it's a really fantastic opportunity to, you know, this podcast to showcase what you're doing and how you're doing it. Because there are some things that when I first heard you talking about Empower Me, and you think, it was Efficiency Canada.
Mm-hmm.
That was when we reconnected, was after you'd done that a segment for Efficiency Canada. And I was like, I want to hear way more about this. So
let me tell you. Yeah. So Empower Me, we are one of the longest, if not the longest running education programs in Canada. We have been around. This is our 10th year anniversary this year, congratulations. It's amazing. I'm, you know, pinching myself, really, that we're here, and it's amazing. And I'm so grateful that I've been on this journey with Empower Me. We started Empower Me really as a response to a gap in the market. We were delivering programming on behalf of utilities and governments, and we're based in BC, and BC is one of the most diverse provinces in Canada. And we kept seeing the same demographic of people coming through the programs. And, you know, we are residents of British Columbia and the Lower Mainland, and we know that the population does not look like that. And, you know, 30% of our population are immigrants and newcomers. And so we started Empower Me really with just a pilot program. We hired some folks from a local Gurdwara. Hired them and trained them and did, you know, a light version of the program now.
So then, just Gurdwara is a Sikh temple.
That's right. Yeah. And so those folks then went back out into their own community at the temple and shared the information. So here in BC, we have PowerSmart. It's been around for, gosh, I want to say 20 years. And so
I think longer than that. I think it was there when I lived there.
Yeah, a long time. So the interesting thing was a lot of the people we worked with had never heard of it, never heard of PowerSmart, never heard of the programs or the services. So we knew that we've hit a population that this information wasn't getting to. And so it just really grew from there. And our, you know, we went to Fortis, BC back in 2012, and, you know, they such an important part and such a great partner. They really saw the vision of the program way back then, way before anybody was talking about diversity or inclusion or equity. Nobody was using those words, but they really saw the vision and they supported us from day one, and they are still our supporters. And we've gone from there. So we hire people from the community. We provide them lots of training. They go back out into the community. We do workshops and events, and we have online content and support. We're across DC and Alberta. And our model is we are funded and supported by multiple provincial governments, utilities, municipalities across those provinces. And looking to expand because the need.
Oh, that's exciting.
Anywhere. Yeah.
I remember one of the things that when we were talking, this was a while ago now, but one of the things that kind of stood out for me was the fact that you mentioned, you know, with a lot of new immigrant communities coming from different, completely different climatic zones, that there's no word in their first language for things like furnace or heating needs. And so that to me was, you know, it's really sort of naive, but I hadn't thought about that at the time. And I think that that's something that's really important for a lot of folks who were born in northern climates. It's not intuitive that somebody who is not from a northern climate understands or has words to describe what you're talking about. So that's a huge roadblock, I think, or can
totally
be.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's such a need there for education and support and trusted education and support. So many people come from countries where houses look a lot different. And so we're starting at a place where, you know, what is insulation? What is a furnace? What is air conditioning? What's a heat pump? How do these things and the structure of a home impact my energy consumption? How does my energy consumption impact my energy bill? Maybe how my energy bill impacts the climate. How does climate impact government policies? So you can kind of see the dots that are forming together. Yeah, it's a challenge, and we need to support. We need to meet communities where they are. If we're going to build participation in our programming, if we're going to include everybody in our programs and our goals, you know, I think creating solutions that are specifically designed for the people and by the people.
Right. And meet those high level goals, just economy, just transition, equity, you know, any kind of equitable kind of move towards who's getting the benefit of these programs and the money that's available to make the change is really important.
Absolutely. And you touched a little bit on language, and language is such an interesting one and a nuanced one. And it's, you know, it's beyond just translating a word. It's about translating a concept and translating it in a way that is trusted. So we're not just, you know, creating brochures that are translated. We are designing it in a way that we're designing the message to come from the community itself. It's somebody that you know that, you know, volunteers at your mosque or volunteers at your church. You already know that person. They already speak your language. You've probably shared dinner with them before. And they are the ones telling you about heat pumps, about upgrades, about the Greener Homes program. And so there's a trust that embedded there with language. There's so much more than language, and it's
it's a whole cultural approach, right? If someone is in your home and they're of your community, they're going to have some, maybe not the very specifics of how your household works, but they're going to have much broader, a broad level understanding of what's expected when you come in the house.
Exactly.
And I know that's one of the big issues for energy advisors is, you know, cultural expectations of the homeowner versus those of the energy advisor, the contractor coming in. They may be at complete odds to each other.
Yeah.
And nobody's there to be,
right?
Yeah. And it's not that anybody's there to offend or be offended. It's just that this isn't how we do things in this household.
That's right.
Or in this community. So,
yeah. Yeah. And I think language is an interesting one related to what you're saying, but it's people, you know, my people could be here for 15, 20, 30 years and, you know, we can have conversations with them and go to grocery stores and order fast food and, you know, go about their day. That doesn't mean that it's less impactful to speak in their mother tongue. My mother-in-law is a great example. She has been here 45, 50 years. And she, you know, she goes about her day, she works, she does all that stuff. As soon as there is a concept or a conversation that is a little bit more in depth, that requires nuance, that requires, you know, a little bit more, I don't want to say thinking, but thought process and education and learning, she immediately reverts back to her mother tongue because that's where the comfort is. That's where the ability to speak without translating it in your mind first. And so just because somebody speaks English doesn't mean that that's their preferred language.
Yeah. Oh, I totally hear that. I mean, I am definitely not a multilingual speaker to my eternal and utter shame because I love language. But I can carry on a reasonable conversation in French and a semi-reasonable conversation in Spanish. I can understand way more than I can speak. But man, if something goes beyond sort of day-to-day interactions with somebody, I'm like, translating, and especially translating things like, you know, technical.
Right. Imagine getting an inner guide audit in Spanish.
I mean, yeah, I'd start crying. I'd be like, I don't know. I can understand a second paragraph, maybe.
Yeah. And you just wouldn't do it, right? You just wouldn't do it. And I think that's what we've seen. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's definitely, I think there's lots of people who can take your example and move forward with that kind of, you know, broadening the communities that are often being offered.
Absolutely.
Advice, et cetera, on energy. So Cambo is the top overarching umbrella, but Empower Me is a social enterprise. Is that right?
Cambo is a social enterprise. Empower Me is a brand.
Oh, the whole thing. Okay.
The whole thing. So okay. My paycheck comes from Cambo. And Empower Me is the brand underneath it. Yeah. So Cambo is the organization that runs social Empower Me.
And it's a social enterprise. So I'm very kind of excited about talking about things that are not mainstream business models and how are they working and what's, you know, like, can you talk a little bit about the benefits and the challenges of being a social enterprise?
Yes, I can talk about it. It's interesting, you know, reflecting on it. But 15 years ago, profit was a dirty word. You know, it was really challenging. Everybody sort of expected us to be a nonprofit. And we do the work of nonprofits. We do the work of charities. You know, the work that we do is right in line with their mandate. But we also believe that it's okay to try and make a profit doing this, to pay people, to grow, to expand, to build the economy at the same time.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's great value in it.
Yeah.
It should be valued.
Yeah. Yes. And now I think, you know, we're unapologetic about it. It's times have changed, I think, certainly. But I think the market and folks we talk to understand that the work we do and our passion is to have impact in communities and to make people's lives better by making their homes better. And I think it's also, you know, nonprofits and charities, there's financial challenges around that, especially we just went through a pandemic, which, you know, being a social enterprise gave us the financial ability to borrow money in a way that nonprofits potentially one more challenge. So,
right.
Yeah, it's been interesting. We always talk about it internally. Should we be a nonprofit? Should we not? You know, it's an ongoing conversation.
Right. Right. It's interesting because I had Chelsea Thomas from Soul Invictus on a couple of weeks ago, and she was talking about how they are a social enterprise, that they're moving into B Corp status.
Yeah. So that's something also we are always talking about, B Corp, and people always ask us about that. We certainly could be a B Corp. I think social enterprises, you know, it's on the way to being a B Corp. Right. I think the challenge with being a B Corp is the certification and the amount of time and money it takes to really be certified. And honestly, we're just too busy doing the work. We just rather do the work than certify ourselves. That, you know, I think it's, I love seeing the B Corp stamp, and I, you know, I think it's so important. It's just a challenge for small organizations with very limited capacity. Yeah.
And it's like when, you know, the any kind of certification process that takes time. And, you know, like you said, like the practicality of being out there and doing the work is so much more important than having that designation to a certain extent. And then there's a place where you probably are big enough. And this is me speaking with some semblance of knowledge, but I haven't done a deep dive into this, but there's probably a tipping point there where you become big enough. Like maybe when you're in 3, 4 or more provinces or across the country, then it becomes the right time. So there's probably a level of scale that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That you need to hit. Yeah. Interesting. I'm going to be looking over the next couple of years about putting Blue House into B Corp status as well.
Neat.
I think it's really important to understand that business is not single dimensional.
Now, business is a tool to do good from where we sit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we'll have to stay in touch as you go through it.
So back to, you know, the theme of this whole segment of the season is, how do we get ourselves unstuck? What do we do to get out of our own way? So in terms of disrupting the industry, you know, we probably need multiple stakeholders supporting programming and services. And you've probably identified a ton of gaps in your end of this whole piece of the world. So do you want to talk about that a little bit?
The unsticking.
How do we get unstuck? Yes.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think we've seen great examples of multiple stakeholders coming together to unstick and to find solutions. And I think from our perspective, no one organization, no one level of government, no one ministry, no one utility is going to solve the climate crisis. We have to do it together. And we all bring different things to the table. You know, every stakeholder, whether it's government, utilities, municipalities, organizations like ours, think tank, we all have a good perspective, an important perspective that needs to be considered. And I think too often perspectives are not included in decisions and not included in policies. Mm-hmm. And I think what happens is that policies and programs address portions of the challenge or address parts of it, but there can be real gaps and it can be really challenging. And, you know, I think we are smart enough to do this. We know what to do as a country and really as a planet. You know, we put somebody on the moon. We can do this. We can upgrade homes.
And we can do it in an equitable manner too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, because I think one of the things that I know that Empower Me and Cambo is working with is the area of energy poverty, as well these sort of underserved communities, I guess, is the overarching term that I've seen used in this arena. So
Yeah, absolutely.
I like to use the word, the term historically underprioritized.
Excellent. That's very precise. I like it. But that's a big issue, right? With that, like with the, you know, there's a lot of programs around that will give you money, but you have to be able to front the money, some grant programs, et cetera, right? So they'll pay you back for the money you spend on energy conservation measures. But if you don't have the wherewithal to pay, first of all, then even though you could pay it back, you still don't have that initial step. And I always, when people say, well, this is, you know, it's kind of like, well, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. Grand. What if you don't have boots?
What if you need boots? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So let's give people boots.
I think,
then they can pull themselves up.
Yes, I totally agree. And there's great programs out there. You know, we have CMHC just launched their loan program. We have the Greener Homes Grant Program federally. We have lots of programs provincially across the country, and municipality and through utilities. The challenge with grant programs is they don't cover a significant amount of cost of upgrade. Mm-hmm. They're designed to push the consumer to buy the more energy efficient choice. They're not designed to cover a significant amount of cost. So, you know, it's, you get a rebate. They want you, instead of buying the inefficient light bulb, let's say a CFL or incandescent, they want to give you enough of a rebate that you're going to buy the LED. So it makes it worth it for a consumer. So if you're lower income, that doesn't cover enough of the cost for you. And that's kind of it with some of the granting programs. When you look at insulation and windows and heat pumps, we're talking thousands of dollars.
We're also talking about thousands of dollars or, you know, significant amount of money that has to go into improving infrastructure, like things like replacing a service panel or increasing the amount of service that comes to a house because it was relying on gas-fired appliances first, and you can't upgrade without to a heat pump, for example, without actually increasing.
You need different. Yeah. You need other work to be done. Yeah.
And it's not covered.
So then so your other option is to take out a loan. So there's lots of great financing programs that are rolling out in different parts of the country, and we have our CMHC loan. The challenge that we have found and that we have seen is that lower income households who pay, you know, energy poverty is around being unable to afford your energy. So you're struggling to pay your bills and heat your home adequately. What we have seen is that households that are struggling are not interested and should not go into more debt by getting a loan to upgrade their homes. That is not something that people want to consider more than they already are. You know, we are so over leveraged right now. Consumer debt has never been higher. When you're struggling and you're paycheck to paycheck, you're certainly not thinking about, let me get another loan to increase my insulation, to reduce my energy bills. Your bills are too high. And so we have these programs, but they're out of reach for 3 million people across our country. And the U.S. has had their weatherization assistance program, which is a low-income program across the whole of the U.S. for 40 years.
Dedicated. Weatherization is a dedicated industry. It's a recognized industry. And after being in this industry for 30 years, I am still absolutely appalled that Canada does not have a dedicated weatherization industry. It could have a different name. I don't care. I would be happy to call it something else. But please, can we actually move forward on that? That's one of those places where we really need to get unstuck, is this place where, you know, all of our energy conservation measures have kind of been driven through different programs like Eco Energy and now the Greener Homes Initiative, et cetera. And there's really not the underpinning to create an industry out of that, because it's a lot of voluntary things that consumers could do if they're interested in these incentives. And it always feels like we're ending up starting at, you know, at stage one again. And yeah, I'm ready to disturb some poop and make something else happen.
I like it. Yeah, I mean, I think the challenges that we have, especially when it comes to energy poverty or lower income households, is we have a fragmented approach across the country. We have three programs in BC for lower income households, two through the utilities, one through our province, zero in Alberta. And then across the country, it sort of depends where you are.
Patchwork. Yeah.
Patchwork. And it, you know, it's inequitable because you might get a kit, an energy savings kit in one area of the country. You might get a heat pump in another another country. And it's a real gap, and it's a gap that needs to be filled if we are going to achieve our goals.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, you know, the climate doesn't really care. We need to reduce GHG.
Yeah.
Now.
End of story.
In all hope.
Thank you.
In all hope.
Yeah. So what are some of the most interesting things that are coming up for you? What are you working on you want people to know about? All of them, I know.
What are we working on? Well, Empower Me is doing great. And like I mentioned, we're hitting our 10-year anniversary. So certainly we're looking to celebrate that, because in this industry, it's hard work. It's emotional work. It's, you know, but we got to celebrate the wins. We got to celebrate the wins. And so we are looking to celebrate that.
And what are you going to do for celebration?
I don't know. What should we do?
Oh, well.
What are you doing?
We're doing 10 years. So what we're doing is, we're giving things away.
Oh,
So anybody listening, you still have time to get in on this. If you buy our energy advisor exam prep between now and the end of October, when we turn 10 officially, your name is going to get put into a draw for a blower door kit.
Wow.
Yeah, that's very specific to people who are actually on the path to becoming energy advisors. Yeah. And then for anybody else who's purchasing other courses from us, we're going to be giving away things like infrared cameras and a few other things like smaller things like low E detectors and things like that are super nerdy for those people who want to be in this industry. And we're also going to be partnering with Helga Ware, who's out of BC. And we're going to be providing gift certificates for women's workwear. I don't know if you've seen Cover Gals. Thank you. Cover Gals. You got to check it out because they are awesome. If any woman is working on any kind of construction site, you want these. They've got
I'm looking them up right now. They got
lots of butt room. There's good room for your hips and your boobs. And they zip away in the right way so you don't have to take the fuckers off and drop them on the bottom of the yucky outhouse floor.
The next conference you see me at, I'm going to be wearing these. These are
awesome. I think we should all show up in these.
I like it.
So those are some of the things that we're doing, which is really sort of focused on people who are moving into the into the specific industry. So so that's what we're doing.
That's some giveaways. So exciting. Exciting. Yeah, I think, you know, it's so important to celebrate, right? 10 years is a big milestone in this industry. And
it's huge. And we were, you know, we were probably 5 years ahead of ourselves because people were like, no, you can't do this kind of training online. No, you have to be. I mean, that was me at first, right?
Right.
You can't do this kind of training online. It must be done in person because look at all these questions and look at all the things you have to point out and, you know, and technique and installation and all that stuff. It's like, well, in actual fact, there's a whole bunch of theoretical and fundamental concepts that you can teach online.
Yeah.
Especially when you've got really good illustrators and graphic designers and 3D modelers who can create amazing things like our team does. So that's what, you know, so here we are 10 years. I can't even believe it, 10 years.
Going back to your question about being excited, the other thing we're super excited about is figuring out our energy poverty program in Alberta. So we are, I'm sure anybody in the industry has certainly heard me talk about it before. So we're really looking to find support to relaunch an energy poverty, deep energy retrofit program there. And we have a few amazing partners on board, and I can't say much, but look out for some announcements. And we're just planning our Christmas party at Tambo. So that's always exciting too.
Well, let's keep in touch over your energy poverty piece. And when you can say more about it, we'll have you back on it. And we'll talk more about that, because I really want to, you know, that's part and parcel of what my personal thing is, is the deep energy retrofits, and how do we move those, scale them fast, stop looking for a friggin' silver bullet, because it's not going to happen, and find ways to actually make it work, move through more houses and get more people invested in doing this kind of strong work, because there's all sorts of really positive things about it. There's local economic development. You can't outsource this stuff.
Yeah.
There's community building and, you know, local labor force improvements and upskilling people. It's just so many positives. I just really want to make sure that we stay connected on that.
I love that.
One of the things, I ask two questions at the end of each interview. And you can frame this in different words if you want. But what's the all-time favorite nerdy, delightful thing that you love about building science or the work that you do in this realm?
Oh, well, that's a good question. What's my favorite thing? Is that what favorite?
Yeah.
You know, I think, so I'm not, you know, I don't go into the homes and do the work myself. I'm not an EA. I lead a team who does that and lead our company. I think for me, and it's going to sound a little bit cheesy, but it's the impact that this work has on people's lives. It's hearing about how insulation and air sealing and just doing simple work really impacts people's comfort level and feeling in their home. We had an example of a single mom that we worked with in Calgary, and we were in her home. Our team was in her home, and she was saying her kids' room was cold. Kids' room is always cold. I don't know what to do. I have an electric heater in there. My bills are so high. I don't know what to do. Her husband had recently passed away. Her father was who she leaned on a lot for support, was unavailable. Our team was in the home, and our team went down in the basement. And it turns out it was just a simple venting issue with a pipe weren't connected. And so all the hot air was not reaching her son's room. And so, you know, such a simple thing. But the letter we received afterwards, you know, that's what makes it worth it. We're making people's lives better by making their homes better.
Yeah, I love it. So here's the other question. What's the building site via or world in your world of not being out in the field doing the technical work? What's the BS or myth or stereotype about your work that drives you crazy? Like what makes you want to like scratch things?
Oh my God, so many things. Okay, I got an answer. I think if every single person who designs an energy program would spend the time to try and sign people up for that program, or has had the experience of talking to the public about that program, hearing their questions, I think that would change so much. I think, you know, the challenge we see, I think that's really our magic, is that we have put thousands of people through energy and climate programs. We have sat across their kitchen tables talking to them about it. So we know what their reactions are. We know what they think. And then our team is actually in their homes doing the upgrades too. We're crawling through crawl spaces. And I think what I would love to find that connection between policymakers, program designers, and doing the work, because there's such a gap there of how those pieces flow down.
Yeah, I would agree. Having been one of those people sitting at the kitchen table across from homeowners.
Yeah.
Hearing their needs and how I like,
yeah, I know.
Yeah, this program. And they can't help you. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, I think this has been a great conversation, and we'll definitely have more of them. And we'll keep tabs on what you're doing and put them up in the show notes as things come about.
Wonderful. So, I really enjoyed it. This has been great.
Good. I'm glad. Yeah, I love this part of my, I mean, you know, I'm the boss, so I get to make up my own job. I love this part of my job, just chatting with people and hearing what everyone's doing. So thank you so much for your time today.
My absolute pleasure.
So that's it for our episode today, and thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for tuning in. This episode was produced by Blue House Energy, Podcast Atlantic, and Tanya Media. Subscribe and don't miss an episode. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time.